fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I'm going to take a look today at a passage we're given at Daily Mass today from Matthew chapter 9 as a continuation of yesterday's reading. If you didn't have a chance to hear yesterday's program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs. They're archived right there on the website. You can listen to them on your computer or download them, whatever device allows you to listen to them at your leisure. While you're there, I encourage you to just browse the website. There's a lot of good material there. All our television programs are archived there. That's Crossing the Goal, as well as The Choices We Face, Sister Anne's wonderful radio program, Food for the Journey. And a lot of the booklets that we've written are all free there on the website, but all the products we produce, lots of different articles we've written, and then information about the international missions that we're engaged in. I encourage you to browse those as well. There's some very inspiring reports from those missions. But today's reading. Yesterday we talked about two healings. One, a woman who for 12 years had a hemorrhage and was bleeding internally. Jesus healed her. About an official, a public official, who came to Jesus, knelt before him and said, "My daughter's dead. I believe that if you touch her, you can raise her from the dead." Jesus was profoundly impressed by the faith of both of them. He was lifted. His heart sang, it seemed like, the way he responded. He said to the woman, he said, "Courage, woman, your faith has saved you." Literally, believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "All those who believe in me will not die, but will have everlasting life." That faith really is that first step, the grace of faith, the capacity that God helps us with and gives us to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, to understand him and his word. And as Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. As we do that, as we turn, as we accept Jesus' diagnosis of the human condition, of our need to have our sins forgiven and our need to be saved and be saved by him. And as we turn to him and his mercy, just as his mercy came to each one of those, to the woman who was bleeding as well as to the young girl who literally was dead, Jesus' mercy extends to both. And he passes through the ritual uncleanness that is a Jewish person, as a Jewish rabbi, he found himself, and he's not supposed to touch a woman or be touched by a woman who is suffering what she was suffering, or it's ritually unclean for a Jewish person to touch a corpse. And in both cases, Jesus, who's bringing the kingdom, and he's the king of the kingdom, and he's teaching a whole range of things. One is that he has unlimited power to set us free from all that enslaves us, number one. Number two is that at the heart of it all, at the heart of the king, is mercy, is a desire to set us free and to give us a free gift. Jesus has compassion on the woman. He has compassion on the man and on the young woman who died. His heart is moved profoundly from the core of his being. And he said that love, which is expressed in mercy, is the center of Jesus' heart and what he came for. And it's the center of the, you might say, the soul and the life of the kingdom of God. And it's what Jesus wants to pass on to the apostles, pass on to the disciples, and he wants flowing through his entire church. The church is a sign of the kingdom of God on earth. It's an imperfect sign. We inhabit it. Peter Herbeck's in the kingdom, in the church. I'm imperfect. But what Jesus is doing is working out his plan and purpose and giving us a share in his Holy Spirit, in his own life, given to us to give us a heart, to tenderize our hearts, to give us his own heart so we learn to have compassion on those who are in bondage, those who are broken, those who are in need of God's love and mercy, who are in need of entering the kingdom of God. And you see the profound place that faith plays in the life of a disciple. As I mentioned yesterday, scripture is so clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see the faith those two had didn't put any limitations on Jesus and what Jesus could do and who Jesus is. Jesus said he came to heal the sick, raise the dead. Many people probably said, he's talking in hyperbole. Nobody can raise the dead. Miracles don't happen. I'm stuck. I'm stuck right here. In fact, I'm stuck in such a situation. I'm not happy with the circumstances of my life. I'm not happy with what I have to endure. I've been dealt a bad hand, and he doesn't seem to really care. God doesn't seem to really care about me. He doesn't see my situation. And what we can see is the ultimate freedom Jesus is going after, because he heals the sick, he raises the dead, as a sign of the deeper reality of what he's come to do. He's come to heal us of the profound internal bondage that we experience, first of all, which is slavery to the power of sin and death. Sin is that agreement in us, the decision to do what is not pleasing to God, to turn away from God. And that sin ends up destroying us. It separates us from God and leads us, St. Paul says, to be subject to the power of sin and death, to live under that reign, the domination. It has all kinds of effects upon us. And it can lead us into a profound downward spiral to the point where we can become radically enslaved in this world. Jesus has come to heal that fundamental bondage, that sickness, because that's a sickness that leads to eternal death. And that's what he's after first. And the physical healings that are present are declarations, are actual visible signs of the presence of the kingdom and what Jesus is able to do. And ultimately, he's going to give us, if we die in Christ, living by faith, faith, hope, and love, and receiving the forgiveness of our sins, we die in Christ, living life, loving God and loving neighbor, he's going to completely free us. He's going to completely deliver us to the point he's going to transform us by the word of his command, the same word of command that raises the young girl, that brings healing to the woman. Jesus is going to raise us and he's going to clothe us in glory. And we're going to participate in, we're going to actually share in the absolute freedom and glory that belongs to Jesus. That's going to be transformation inside and out, from top to bottom. We're going to be all that God the Father has made us to be, and Jesus is the one that can give it to us. That's why he's the only Savior of the world. So here's today's story, Matthew 9:32. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus. That's a demonized man, right? And when the demon was driven out of the mute man, spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Didn't Jesus say he didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword? Here's an example of it. He said, it's going to bring division. That's what he means, essentially. The gospel of the kingdom, which is uncompromising, and Jesus proclaims the truth and then does the works of the kingdom that confirm his words, that bring consistency. And so people can see it. Humble hearts could see it. We've never seen anything like this. He set this man free. He has authority over demons. Demons actually listen to him. They're not the greatest power. We don't have to be afraid of them anymore. Because people were afraid of demonized folk. In 30-some years of ministry, I've encountered various people in various places at various times in the context of preaching and prayer ministry, where they actually were under the power of demonic forces at some level. Were they totally possessed? I don't know. Probably not. Maybe they were. But what I do know is that some dimension of their own freedom as human beings had been surrendered through whatever circumstances of life came their way to enslave them to demonic forces, and all kinds of manifestations that were completely unnatural were happening through them. I remember a situation many years ago, not shortly after the wall went down in Eastern Europe. We were doing a mission in the country of Hungary, and we were in a city called Page, and we did a rally in a large arena, and we preached the gospel of the kingdom. We talked about the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, the forgiveness of sins, the need to respond to the offer of God's mercy for the forgiveness of sins, the glory of who Jesus is, his love, mercy, and tenderness, and that he wanted to set captives free. We'd preach, we had testimonies, we had a whole, I don't know how many priests were there, all kinds, and we had mass at one point during the day. It was really a beautiful day and a beautiful celebration. But there were people there who were not only practicing Catholics, but some people who were not Christian at all, some people who had been baptized Catholic but never practiced the faith. They were deeply involved in the whole communist thing that was going on and kind of drawn into the secular culture and alienated from God. So all kinds of people were there. And we had, at the end of a few of the talks, we had people from the United States who had come with us, who were trained to pray with folks, who were partnered up with Hungarians who also were trained but also served as translators. And lots of wonderful things happened on the day. But one thing that was very unique that I'd never quite seen before, I was standing on the stage and ministry was going on, music was being played, and all of a sudden I heard a loud shriek just down to the right. And I looked down, and one of our team members, a guy named Tom, who was one tough cookie, he was special forces guy in the military in Vietnam, pound for pound, one of the toughest guys I've ever known. And I looked down at him, and he's looking up at me, and his eyes were big, and he was looked like he was in a state of shock, and he'd just seen a ghost. And he actually looked a little bit shaken. And he waves me down there. And so I go down, and there's a man standing in front of him who's got like a black leather jacket on, a young man, maybe probably 30 or something like that. He looks slightly insane. His eyes were like bloodshot red, and he had this look of rage on his face that was to the point of being unnatural, really. And what had happened was he came in, he was in the line for prayer, and he came up and he was just staring at my friend, and my friend asked if he would like prayer. He didn't say anything, and so my friend just kind of raised his hand a little bit, and as he did, this guy let out a loud shriek, kind of strange, almost blood-curdling noise, and as he did, the smell of sulfur came out of his mouth. It was the strangest thing, and he looked slightly crazed, and we saw him, and he was standing there, and he was twitching, and all kinds of things were happening, and it was clear that he probably had psychological difficulties and problems, but clearly there were also spiritual problems going on, and the devil had a hold of him at a certain level. And so we sought out a priest who was there, and then my friend Tom and the priest took him with another person into a room and prayed with him, and I didn't see them for quite a while. And then later in the day, there was a time at the end of a lot of the prayer on the day, everybody was just singing. It was a beautiful scene. And I happened to look down from the stage, and there he was. His hands were in the air, and he had a joy on his face, a radiant face, and he was crying tears of joy, and he was just trying to sing the songs, which he didn't know, but he was so happy. He was standing right in the middle of this whole crowd. And later I asked my friends what happened to him, and they said, the priest and my friend Tom said, to make a long story short, they spent about 90 minutes with him, and they had a translator, and they got him at a certain point to kind of tell his story. He was baptized Catholic as a baby, and in his home, his dad was like totally committed to atheistic communism, didn't believe in God. His mom believed a little bit. She got him the sacrament of confession at one point, but that's all the formation that he ever had. And his father, as he became a teenager, were in deep conflict with each other, lots of fighting. And finally, he threw him out of the house and he went to live in the streets. I mean, he's a wounded, wounded boy. And he was in the streets and he started to survive. He became a prostitute. And he did that long enough. He understood how it worked. And then he started taking young women and making them prostitutes and working for him to numb the pain he had in his life and the guilt and the shame. He took a lot of drugs. He started selling drugs. He got involved in the occult. He actually came that day to oppose what was happening. And he belonged to this strange cult that would pray against the Eucharist two or three or four times a day. But to make a long story short, he talked about all those things. The priest heard his confession. They asked for prayer and they laid hands on him. And as they prayed over him, he got violently sick. But then he also just gently kind of passed out. And he was out for a period of time and they continued to pray over him. And at a certain point, he awakened. He was filled with joy and he had this glow on his face. And Jesus delivered him. Jesus delivered him from the hassle of the demonic forces through the ministry of the priest and the prayer of my friend there, freed him from the demonic forces that were binding him. It was an extraordinary experience, an extraordinary authority, and the same God, the same Lord Jesus, the same kingdom was present there that was present here in the story. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing, and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.